And I want to get into something that we haven't preached on yet, which is called the manifestations of God's power. It's a what happens to people when His power comes upon you, when you learn how to be sensitive. There's a sensitivity when it comes to the glory, that it is possible for somebody to sit here and 30 centimeters away from him, somebody else sitting here. One person experiencing God and the other one not even knowing God is in the place because of sensitivity. Give me the Greek word for maybe is Morten here? It's supposed to Morten here? You're not going to get it. Okay. Is it diakimatso? Give me the word for sensitivity, which is the same as perceive. So, meaning that the glory can only be encountered once you discern it. Once you have the ability to be sensitive and say, but wait, there's something in the place. I'm placing a demand on it and I'm pulling in it. You see, Jesus preached in a house that was full with the leaders and the teachers of the day, Sadducees and Pharisees. Bible says this, it says that the power of God was present to heal, yet none got healed because they couldn't discern the atmosphere. Religion kills an atmosphere. It poisons, intoxicates an atmosphere. Religion is a rigid atmosphere. Once somebody encounters God, they'll tell you, shush, it's you're emotional. Now, there are people that go into the emotions. Are you guys with me? I'd rather have emotions than a dead church. But there are people that goes into emotions. But religion takes it a step further and just want to control an atmosphere where God is unable to move. Once God touches you, you will be emotional. But we make God a dead God. And the leaders and religion was in that house. The power of God was present to heal. Present in the place. Yet none received the healing. But somebody on the outside that was not part of that group discerned and said, but wait. In fact, the Bible says that they tried to get to Jesus, but they couldn't break through the crowd. And they broke a roof open to allow their friend in. But they discerned that something was different. And there can be people that sitting in a church, they cannot discern God. Because religion, offense, hurt, and betrayal has made their hearts hardened. It has caused their hearts to become a heart of stone. And you will never see any emotions in worship. You'll never be able to see them be able to heal because they are unable to encounter God. It doesn't mean God is not there. God will not impose Himself on someone. He will demonstrate Himself in front of someone. But it's up to that person's perception to be able to discern who is in front of him, what is happening in the atmosphere. Are you guys with me? So, religion, I don't think Morten is funny, that word. Dokimatsu, Gnosko, Dokimatsu, am I right? Okay, so. Mm-hmm. So what happened is, and I'm not going to be able to walk to the back right now simply because of the signal, that religion has removed an out of our churches. Say with you, the glory of God is the atmosphere of heaven, the kingdom of the kingdom, the power and the glory. The kingdom is the government of heaven. The power is the ability of heaven. But the glory is the atmosphere. And you need all three of those things working together for the kingdom of God to be made manifest upon the earth, to come in upon a church. And Jesus said these words. He said, I cast out devils. You will know, he said these words, you will know, when I cast out devils by the finger of God, you will know that the kingdom of God has come upon you. So when demons are not being cast out in a church anymore, the kingdom of God has left. The glory has left. The government of heaven has left the kingdom. The power and the ability of heaven has left. Which means that there's no more backing of God there. There's no more approval. The anointing is the approval of God upon a ministry, not character. Are you guys with me? That's why there's many ministers that has the anointing and they in sin and so on. But God approves of the gift. Jesus, approved by God, the word says, attested by God, by signs, wonders, and miracles, that God approved of him as his call and his ministry, and signs, wonders, and miracles followed him. If I be a prophet, signs, wonders, and miracles follow our ministry. It is God's approval of the call, not the character. Are you guys with me? And so even some of you, many of you might have seen my live stream today. And a false prophet tries to come in and swindle a lot of people. Because people look at the gift. But the Bible specifically says, know them that labor among you. For that man to lay hands on me, who is he? Where is his family? Where is his money? Yes, I said it. Where is his churches, his ministry? Where's his fruits? Because I get what he has, not what he says. Are you guys with me? And I throw a little bit of a clause in there. With a prophet, you can get what they say, okay? But the mouth is the gift, but when it comes to ministry, prophecy, divination, where's the source? Where does it come from? I've been in this world for long, in this ministry world. And they come in and they swindle people. And you think it is just me they contacted. Oh no, it is about 100 others in the same church. So when I teach prophecy, I tell people it's not about the accuracy. Even though we can be very accurate, from children to ages to this, to that, to what happened where, we predict. Where's Tonya? Tonya, stand. Tonya and call. Do you have that book here by any chance? You have it here? Come stand here in front. Where's the camera? Where did I? So this is some demonic auto writing I did here. Okay. No, we just did prophecy in a bit of a different way, and we're prophesying through the night. This was before you were married to Cole, before you knew Cole, before you know there was a Cole. So let me tell you, the devil cannot go into your future. Are you guys with me? And by the way, many people, we prophesied over 60 people that night, 60. through the night, 60 people, and I wrote on every person's paper what will happen. From logos to where they will be working. You can only do those things by the Spirit of the Lord. So I write here, I say, Shaul, call. I said, Chris. No, wait, it's not Chris. I say, call. Scratch it out. I say, call. Can you see there? Oh, the camera, is it clear? It's clear. It's not clear. Come on. Help me here with the camera, guys. There. Now, it might just look to you like scribble, but to her, I said there's a partnership and a divine partnership. And then she didn't know a call, and she married a call. And then she realized what I wrote. Okay. So, thank you. But now you have these people coming, I want to prophesy over you. Listen, in your Facebook, listen, if I have time to contact people every night and tell them, and it is every night, what these people do, every night I say, I want to prophesy over you, I don't even have time to meet the needs of our own people. It's desperation and it's fake. No apostle, no prophet will ever contact you who is true. Never. And so false prophets infiltrate the church. They go on my name, they go on many other prophets' names, and they say they are from us and etc. And because our people are open to prophecy, they are humble, they are hungry, they are sensitive. It's wolves that come in. I will destroy them from the pulpit by name. I promise you. I've never done it before, but with that, because that is criminals. Listen to me. They don't just speak to one. They contact many like this. And I'm not a shepherd that is just going to stay silent with that nonsense. Because we teach the prophetic, we tell you. Just because it sounds true doesn't mean it's God. Facebook is also true. I can go on your Facebook and see everything about your life and prophesy it to you. That is why we do that now. Because now, how do you deny that? Are you guys with me? And those online, you can listen as well regarding this. Because why do I do it? To protect you. The prophecy, as much as prophecy can build you up and change your life, it can destroy your life. One prophecy almost destroys your life, Tonya. By a wrong person who's not a prophet who said they are a prophet. Prophesy to her, you'll do 1, 2, 3. I whisper in ear, I said, do this, this and this will happen. Destroyed and lost everything because of one person going, I'm a prophet. No, you're no prophet. Everyone you prophesy over, their lives are destroyed, one after the other. So it took us to correct that thing long. Be careful, really. Know them who labor among you. If we are here in Kruger's Door, we didn't start here. We have a fruitful church in Centurion. We have planted in Cape Town. Long before those churches, we've got itinerant ministry. Plus, we have served in ministry for over 10 years before that even. Recognized. Why am I saying that? The gift, the character, the anointing, all those things. So there are people without character, but prophets have become a trade in South Africa. Because there was a prophetic revival. There's a prophetic revival. Now everybody's just wanting to call themselves a prophet. I see some people, they do whatever the occasion demands. It's evangelism, then evangelist. Evangelist this one. Prophetic meetings, I'm now prophet this and this. I'm like, dear God, you're a prophet. Then it's this. And it's a clown showmanship. But it's, the thing is, the anointing is many times still on the people. And then people, and they think that that now it must be God. Be very, very careful. We have seen so many people being taken out by false words. And it comes down to sensitivity in the word. What does the word say? If I receive a prophecy, what does my inner witness say? What does my leadership and my oversight say? And if those green lights is not there, then it should be a caution to you. Are you guys with me? And people must never be so desperate to hear from God that they run from prophet to prophet to prophet to prophet. Desperation, the devil will go into that. He can come as an angel of light to you. And they come in. We've had many fake profiles. So the reason me and Rudolph never talked is because he's been reaching out to me, but a fake profile reaching out to me. And this person just answers him back and says, PayPal, here you go. Give to this money. And he thinks, but this Leon is arrogant. He's not. He's just asking money when I'm trying to talk to him. And he sends another message, you know, and he sends him, listen, I'm going to expose you on all your videos, this and this. Person sends me back money. You know, I said, I never got those messages. And then we found that there's people that take my profile names and he goes to you guys on our broadcast. Take my photo, take my profile name, and they'll put other banking details there. Or they'll say to you, come into your inbox and say, listen, I got a prophecy for you. God spoke to me. And then once you respond, they say, but listen, you know, just brew the seed of 7,500. And you know what? People do it. But we know that God is in our ministry. That there's nothing, that those who are here understand that there's a move of God that is here. That Krugersdorp, listen, Krugersdorp needs a revival. This atmosphere is missing in Krugersdorp. That is why we have come in and we have done this. We built this building without asking a cent. And it is just the start. But Krugersdorp has been assigned by the enemy to be devil's dorp. As I said, announcing it all over, Satanism rife. We already begin to get threats yesterday and the day before, just because of what we are doing here. But when the glory is on you, when the anointing and the power is on your life, as I said last night, if the devil touches you, he touches God. If somebody touches you, and you must know it, that you are the anointed. Touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm. That if you are anointed, if the devil touches you, he touches God. And when you understand that identity, there is a protection around you. When you have that revelation, it is God's divine protection upon my life. And we went from scripture to scripture to scripture. And I told you those, and many of you have been with us for a while. And you've seen those that touch this ministry. And it's not any boasting. We warned them. Don't do it for your own sakes. You'll have everything being removed from you. Herod tried to come against the move of God. In Peter's day. And an angel struck him and he fell over dead, broke his neck. We can get into Ananias and Sapphira with Peter. In the new covenant, dropped down dead. The fear of God. And that's New Testament. So people are like, but you know, there's no such thing in the New Testament since the cross. That was after the cross, brother. You know. We have evil people, even people confessing they are Jezebels. Defending poor Jezebel, you know. The devil is very funny. And that's public, by the way. As I said to you, the devil will embarrass you and shame you. You see, when the Jewish exorcists were trying to cast out devils, and you're the seven sons of Sceva there. And the Bible says that they said in the name that Paul preaches, the name of Jesus, we cast you out, we rebuke you. And the devils answered them. Please understand, these people had a deliverance ministry that was most probably fruitful because they were known as the Jewish exorcists. And the devil said to them, Paul, we know Jesus we know. Which means the devil said, Paul is here. Jesus is here. I'm not saying Jesus is as low on Paul's level. I'm speaking now in relation to the ability of the anointing and casting out devils. Jesus said you'll do greater works than him. So I'm not bringing his divinity down, but I'm bringing your ability up, your identity up. And the devil said to Paul, I said to the Jewish exorcist, Paul we know, meaning Sydney we know. Are you guys with me? What's this? We know this one, we know Jesus, we know we have surveilled him. One or two people don't like this, it's okay. We have surveillance on him, we've watched him and seen he's a man of God. But who the hell are you? And the Bible says they jumped on them, ripped off their clothing. And they ran out of that place naked and embarrassed. People that touch the move of God, or people whom God has chosen. And let me tell you, if you're in a prophetic church, which I don't like to say a prophetic church, let me change it. If you're around a prophet, I'm not speaking about a pastor. If you're around a prophet, there's a prophetic right and inheritance that is yours. Because I will preach and teach revelation to you. Apostles and prophets are the custodians of revelation. Are you guys with me? God sends them into places to open the heavens, to change the identity of people, to make them aware about who they are. What are we doing in Krugersdorp? We are not here for money. There's better places, and this with all due respect. No. You will prosper. And you are prospering. And that is the gospel we preach. That to get you to a place of the prosperity of God for your life. It is His will for you to prosper. In spirit, soul, and body. In every area. Poverty is not God's will. It is not on His agenda. No one can convince me about that. You can pull scripture and script, whatever you want. I know God. Jesus said to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, you search the scriptures looking for eternal life, yet you do not find it. It's not in there. I am here. I'm the scriptures. Now, I'm not the scripture. What I'm saying is I know God. So we read scripture with a revelation of knowing God. It's much different to somebody else knowing about God, but not knowing God. When you know Him, you don't have to understand or try to understand. You just know. It's in the spirit you know. In the flesh you have to study. The book of Hebrews says, by faith, we know that the worlds were framed together by the word of God. How do we know? By faith. Are you guys with me? So, in the spirit, you just know. And when people are in the spirit, they open to revelation. They don't try to work out, why do I fall over? Or this or that. And we're going to get into the manifestations of God. From trembling to, and I'm going to explain to you out of scripture right now. Because I want you to be a people that is sensitive. When God moves, when God comes in. When the power of God is in a place. Say with me, sensitivity. Dokimazo. Say with me, dokimazo. It's a Greek word. So Moses is walking past a burning bush. He was a man that was trained in the dark arts. Are you guys with me? And he walked past this burning bush. He saw the bush burning, but it was not burning. And the Bible says he looked at the bush, and then he carried on walking. But then something in him made him think, but wait, there's something different here. Because you see, the book of Hebrews says this. It doesn't say the bush was only burning. It says there was a man standing in the midst of that bush, an angel of the Lord. So when Moses walked past, he saw this man standing in the middle of a bush. The bush is burning. The man is probably burning also. And he thinks black magic. And he carries on walking because he was trained in the dark arts. Remember, Moses lied to God when he said he cannot speak. When he said he was stuttering, he was lying. The Bible says he was, what does it say? He was excellent in speech. Moses, perfect in speech. He was trained up in the house of royals. There's no way you're going to not speak, be able to speak there. They train you from a young age. Yet he says to God, now I stutter. And all of us believe that Aaron went with him because God is, because Moses never stuttered. Aaron was used simply because Moses had a mistake. But Aaron thought he's special. Yet God is thinking, you only here because that one is making a mistake. Don't think so highly of yourself. If that one didn't lie to me, you would not even be here. So Moses walking past the bush, sees the bush burning, but it's not burning. He sees a man standing there. He carries on walking. Then the Bible says he turned. He said, now I will turn aside to see this great sight. It was a normal bush that was just burning. The great sight is there was somebody standing in the midst of the bush. But it required Moses to become sensitive. To be sensitive to say, but wait, God is in this thing that looks like witchcraft. Listen to me. When the world or religion screams there's witchcraft in the church, you must know there's power. When they say, I heard that apparently we've buried pigs' heads here underneath this thing, that I went for dips in rivers with black soap, that I did initiations. And and I'm speaking of hundreds of emails, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds that are being sent to like professors and all these people about us. And you'll see the details on the interviews. And I'm thinking, that's a good thing because it tells you there's a power there that people cannot work out. But religion will make you want to disprove God rather than prove whether God is in a place. They'll try to look for every excuse why a miracle cannot be God. A Pharisaical spirit. Are you guys with me? So they said there's a pig's head buried here, or in Centurion or wherever. And that is now how we prophesy. Another person said, running around telling everybody, a lot of ministers, I sleep with women before services. And that's how I get the power to prophesy. No, you're just jealous. You can't. Just, that's it. And I'm saying I'm the only one. There's many that can do 100 times better than me. But that you have to tell that nonsense. Somebody who we've reached out to, by the way. It tells you God is present. You see, where the power of God is, the hearts of people are willing to serve. The Bible says, in the day of His power, the hearts of people will be willing to. In the day that power is in Krugersdorp, you'll see people's hearts willing to. That's why the building has been packed out. Where do you see conferences Sunday and a Monday? A Monday you have something called in ministry, a Monday night syndrome. No one comes. It's never happened in the history of Encounter. Never. We are not saying that we are special. But we're saying that there's something that God is doing. In the day of His power, the hearts of the people will be willing to serve. in Krugersdorp when there's power. And the power of God is returning because this city has received so many prophecies. And we are on the fulfillment of just one of them. That is all. That by the, on the steps of the Potter Crawl Monument, William Branham prophesied. And the Potter Crawl Monument is right here. Said that an end time revival, prophetic revival, will be birthed out. And no church could find ground around this place. While this land was hidden for us, just to start off, not to end. Are you guys with me? That's just to start off. So the thing is to be sensitive to a move of God that is taking place. Moses walking past, he says, I'm going to now turn aside to see this great sight. And as he turned aside, and we see how God began to spoke to him. But he had, say with me, dokematso. Job 4 verse 12. Now a word was secretly brought to me. And my ear received it. Sorry, received a whisper. Say with me, secretly. And my ear received a whisper of it. In disquieting thoughts from the visions of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men, fear, say with me, fear. When you encounter God, there will be fear. When you see an angel at night in your room, there'll be fear. They won't be like, oh, hello. No, 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 trust me. There will be fear. You will think there's a person that is standing in your room. And that person has so much power, you will know by one breath they can kill you. So when we say we have encountered angels, we're not playing around and saying, oh, just an angel. No, 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 no. I've had encounters in my room where I would tremble on the floor for hours, tremble, shake, while the glory of God is there. And that's where God calls a person. And that never leaves you. Or you have an angel coming to give you a message from the throne of God. You cannot make those things up. It is sovereignly planned by God. Fear came upon me and trembling, which made all my bones shake. So with him made all my bones shake. So fear came, trembling came, which made all my bones shake. The man feared, he trembled, and his bones began to shake. Then a spirit, and I need you to understand, Job is one of the oldest books in the Bible. So when Job was, when this was written, the way this was this is written, it wasn't written even with a scribe. These stories was passed on by speech. From one to another to another. So when they say a spirit passed by my face, it was a spirit from God and the Lord himself. But they could only put it in the words of a spirit passing before my face. The hair on my body stood up. It stood still. Goosebumps. But I could not discern its appearance. I could not dokematso its appearance. A form was before my eyes. There was silence. Then I heard a voice saying, now stop here. So people will come to you and tell you, oh no, when you see an angel, you know, it's going to be this great light. This great big man stand. No, 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 no. There are many different ways of seeing angels or God. Here, what they saw here was a spirit moving, first a movement, knowing that something is there. And then it was like a form. He could see an outlining of the person. So every encounter that you have or that I have to go find it in the scripture to protect me from any demonic type thing. And please, throw out the angels of light thing. We're not speaking of that. Okay? People are so, oh, you know, be careful of angels of light. Shut up. Why are you trying to disprove God? If you have an angel standing in front of you, you will know whether it's of God or not. It can come in a deception, but God will protect you in that moment if it is an angel of light. People are like, you know, in the presence of, there's no fear. No, no, no. There'll be a lot of fear when an angel comes to you. We had angels in Centurion Campus. We had angels all over. I mean, Marco was sleeping in the church, and angels, you know, he woke up and saw some men on the stage, and he was very scared. A black figure, but it was an angel. Or a dark figure, because it was at night. You know, at that moment, your heart will pound out of your chest. Angels coming in as wind, shaking the building, touching people. And we're going to get on the nub. We're going to get into the words tonight of the dimensions. There's a dimension, a manifestation called the touch of the power. You can be in worship and it'll feel like a human hand is on you. It's the touch of God, whether it's by an angel or the Holy Ghost. I heard a voice saying, there was silence. Then I heard a voice saying, next verse, can a mortal man be more righteous than God? Can a man be more pure than his maker? Now listen, say with me, dokimazo. It's the sensitivity. Let's go to Luke 5. Well, give me the scripture where Jesus was walking and the lady with the issue of blood. Put it on the screen for me. We see Jesus walking, and I'm speaking about sensitivity here. Don't worry about the time. We'll be on time and you'll be home, and okay? Just be in the presence of God, because I want Him to come in and touch people, but I need to get this message through. It's very important to get this message through, because I'm going to get into five things that I know you don't know, that you need to know on how to respond and how to receive when God is moving and when His power touch on you. In fact, six things. What happens when the power of God comes on you? So that people are not as cold as this pulpit here. That nothing happens. Or, you know, they even resist God. That's okay. But it's like, you know, you lay hands on them and they like resist. And I'm speaking about a closed heart. I'm not speaking about a physical manifestation. But I want you to understand how the natural responds to the spiritual. So now a certain woman had a flow. Sorry, Mark 5. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years. And had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all she had and was better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind Him in the crowd and touched His garment. She came behind and touched. Say with me, touched. So the first manifestation of the power of God, when it comes upon your life, you will feel a touch on you. Are you guys with me? You will feel it is like the touching of a hand. It is like in the Hebrew we call it naga, N-A-G-A. You will feel a touch, whether it's an angel touching you, but it'll feel like a human touch. You'll feel it in our services, especially when we see they say that angels is present. You will feel like somebody is moving past you. Somebody was preaching, one of my friends, Pastor Gabriel was preaching here, a while, but not yet in Centurion, in the small building where we had a lot of angels, before we went to the big one. He was standing in front, and I know when I stand there in front, before I go prophesy, I usually people think it's the Holy Spirit speaking to prophets. It's most of the time the angelic. And let's leave that alone, please. Otherwise there's going to be stuff again. That's why we sing prophetic angel. Okay. But, and if you're not a prophet, don't, people try to argue and they're not even the prophet. scripture says this, that we know exactly what the Bible says. So I know when I, and it's an angel, whether it's the Holy Spirit to some, it can be the Holy Spirit. I'm not equating that. The Holy Spirit, of course, speaks to us, speaks to everyone. But an angel comes with a message from the throne of God usually. And I'll stand, and then usually I'll feel like a tugging, I'll literally, it's like my jacket will be pulled like this. And then I know it's time to go and minister or go prophesy. So Gibbon, he stands there. I'm not there. I don't know if I was there or I was got late or something. And it's his time to preach in worship. And he's like, you know, carries on. He says to me afterwards, he says, somebody was pulling, something was pulling on my jacket. I said, don't worry. It's my angel that's telling you to go minister. You know, and these things you can only know by revelation. You cannot, you know, like I said, people attack us for these things all over, but we know these things. We have tasted, handled, touched these things. Like Peter said, these are not something we are just speaking about from a distance. We have touched them, seen it. My eyes have seen and beheld the glory of the Lord. Meaning, I want you in this place to know that when this move of God is here tonight, tomorrow night, let your eyes beheld the glory of the Lord. Be somebody that can walk out of this place and say, I have seen His glory. I have seen His power. I have seen the manifestation, the presence of God. My eyes have beheld His glory. I've had a face-to-face encounter with Him. Nobody can take that away from you. Nobody can remove that from you. Are you guys with me? And when you behold His glory, you are changed into that same image. Going from one dimension to another, from glory to glory, the Bible says. So say with me, touched. Naga. It's the first realm, manifestation of when His power comes. You'll receive a touch. But where I was, Mark chapter number 5. Where we were now. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind Him in the crowd and touched His garment. Next verse. For He said, if only I may touch His clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed, the affliction. She felt she was healed. She didn't get a medical report that she was healed. Although we want you to get a medical report, but it is received not after the medical report. It is received by faith before the medical report. Immediately, so she felt, say with me, she felt. She was sensitive and something shifted in her body. Next verse. And Jesus immediately, say with me, immediately, knowing in Himself that power had gone out of Him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? He was sensitive enough to know that when power left Him, a lot of us think we should be only sensitive to know when power comes into us or power comes upon us. Many Christians are not sensitive enough to know when power is leaving them. So they are filled with the presence, the power of God in a conference like this. And then, you know, next week or so, they're watching television or they're watching this thing, they're watching that thing, and then they're with this friends, and then they play here, and then they drink this, and then they go like this. And then what happens is there's like holes in the bucket and the water leaks and the power leaks out. But they are not sensitive that power is leaving their body and the presence of the Lord is leaving their body, only to find it out too late. Are you guys with me? And Jesus, immediately knowing in Himself that power had gone out of Him, turn around. So He knew somebody touched Him. When you experience the realm of touch, the power of God comes into your life. But it can manifest in a variety, naga. It can manifest in a variety of ways. It can be when you're driving a car and there's an accident about to happen, something like a hand will move your car out of the way. Are you guys with me? And you would feel, listen, there's divine protection. Elisha said to his servant, there's armies all around us. And And Elisha said to his servant, I pray that God will open up your eyes. And the Lord opened up his servant's eyes and he saw the chariots of fire. But it says these words. He saw chariots of fire round about Elisha. No whom God has anointed, where the anointing is, where the location of the anointing is. Make sure, and we're not saying we are the only church, there are many. I'm just saying for the part of Krugersdorp, for the move, and I know what God is doing here. God still chooses men. He still chooses to use individuals that has a protection around them. I think it was Pastor Allen that was with me, and I had a concern when they were driving home late at night. I said to them, just be careful. Like, you know, and I had this thing in my heart, like, no, something's wrong. And they said to me, an accident, and something came and shifted the car out of the way. And that has happened to us with children in our car. And let me say this, say with me, touch. Once you experience this manifestation, once your heart is open to it, this is where financial blessing will begin to come on your life. It's where Joseph had the ability, everything that his hand touches was blessed. We shared last night, I said to people, raise your hands if you've received cars here. And hands went up all over the place. You're blessed with cars. Do you know how many cars we have given away so that the church can be blessed? And we didn't give it to those people, gave it to other people. But I know that where I sow, that our church will reap it. Now you hear testimony after testimony. I received the car. I received the house. Cashier, I received the car. The touch of God. Naga. Say with me, Naga. You see, it is like a hand. It is, you know, let's go to, let me give you an example. Go to Daniel 10 verse 10. Daniel 10 verse 10. Suddenly, a hand touched me, which made me tremble. Say with me, tremble. A hand touched. So we see first a realm of touching coming in. The touch of God. Go there to verse 16. And suddenly, one having the likeness of the sons of men touched my lips. So if he touched my lips, Isaiah, where the angel of the Lord came and took a coal from the fire and touched his lips. So if he naga, it is the naga of God when you're being touched. But when you're touched, like the lady with the issue of blood touching Jesus' garment, there's an exchange of power that takes place. Are you guys with me? So when people are not open to this first realm manifestation, they do not have an exchange of power, and their lives do not experience a change. No power going in, and when there's no power going in, there can be no power going out. I've seen ministers that do not have dokimazo sensitivity. They can lay hands. They have power, but they don't know how to release it because they've lost the sensitivity of God. Are you guys with me? Let's go to Daniel 10 verse 11. Daniel 10 verse 11, we were just right now. Zedanum. Say with me, trembling. The second manifestation of power is in the Hebrew what we call rad, R-A-A-D, rad. You will begin to tremble and shake. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, Understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you, an angel. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Are you guys with me? 104, let's go to Psalm 104 verse 32. Psalm 142 or 104 verse 32. He looks on the earth and it trembles. Say with me, he looks on the earth and the earth trembles. He touches the hills and they smoke. Listen to this. I don't want distractions. I want you guys to get, because this is a message that needs to come to those who are maturely sensitive. So I don't want these things to distract. So don't run all around the show. He looks, say with me, he looks on the earth and then the earth trembles. When you get into that manifestation with the power, I'm not speaking of faking, okay? I'm not speaking of shaking because you shook 10 years ago, or reenacting a manifestation of God because you experienced it in a tent revival. Are you guys with me? And you're just kind of like, let me try to feel God again and do the same. No, that's fake. Fleshly, soulish, carnal. Turning the light bulb or shaking, you know? Whatever people are doing. When power is on you, you won't have to act. People pretend where there is no power. But where there is power, you won't pretend. You will shake before we even lay hands on you. When you tremble, it means God is looking at you. He looks at the earth, and the earth trembles. You will see when we pray for people, sometimes it's like they shake as if there's an electric shock. Why? God is busy looking at them. It is the eyes of God that is on you. Rod, are you guys with me? Which means I'm trying to explain something that is very sensitive. It is a manifestation of God that is right in front of you. If you've ever been in your prayer room and you were not trembling under the power, you have not encountered Him. And I'm speaking about a second manifestation only here. Enter into that place. Whether it's fasting or prayer or whatever it is. But you press in where the glory of God begins to come in. You will shake like you're in an electric shock. Those are the encounters that changes people. Why do we lay hands? Because of that. There's no such thing as falling over and walking. Somebody says, well, it's falling over and walking up the same. When you lay hands, not when we do lay hands. I believe if we do it, that God touches people there. Of course, nobody's infallible, and I'm sure there are people that just stand up and have the courtesy drop, you know. They just kind of like fall over nicely and just, you know, just get up quickly. You know, there's no, you know, they're fixing their dress while they are falling over. It's like a religious thing. You might as well just keep standing. Really. This is a level called Rod. Say with me, Rod. Even when the Lord visited Saul on Damascus, the Bible says that the people around him and Saul trembled when they saw the light, when Jesus was looking at them and says, "Why have you persecuted me, Saul?" And they were trembling under that power. Job, that I just read right now, the Bible says a spirit walked past his face. This is his friend, Eliphaz. A spirit walked past his face. And he trembled and his bones shook. Power is not mistaken. When power is in a place, you will know it is there. Krugersdorp is open for power. When we preach here, there's an authority in the atmosphere, meaning that they say, well, that is beginning to be redug in this city, in this region, which has received so many prophecies. It is just God is waiting for somebody
to stand up and say, I receive that which has been prophesied. And we are walking in the fulfillment where wells have been dug many years ago by great generals of God. All we are doing is redigging those wells where the heavens are open, where there's a gateway of heaven upon. And there's power, which means that God's agenda is revival for the city of Krugersdorp, for devils to be cast out, devil witchcraft to come down, prosperity to come into this region. But it requires a people that are committed to a vision. Have your seats, have your seats. It's a people that is needed, that is... You see, Krugersdorp has such a spirit of death. There's so many murders here. As they even said, Devil's Dorp. The death threats we get is from this place. Every time we touch an altar here, they come for us. But as I said, you need power meeting power. Altar meeting altar. What does that mean? It means where Elijah built and restored the altar of the Lord, that fire came down and it consumed the prophets of Baal. You need an altar. You need a prophetic. You need power to deal with the satanic that is here. The religion and the false doctrines and the spirit of error that's splitting churches. Every time they get to this number where we all kind of like right now, I'm speaking of other churches, they just destroy. Either the pastor dies because of the high places of strongholds in the city. Right now, they're busy with human sacrifices. While you're in church, right now, and Christians are, I don't want to fast, you know. No, I don't know if I can go every night, you know. Yet the kingdom of darkness is dedicated. Blood is, do you know how much blood has been cut for this church? Photos have been sent. They look for a place that has power. They can't care about a family church around the corner or some religious community church. They're looking where people are empowered, imparted, having an encounter with God. And then we backslide and we think, oh no, but this is just, no. This, there's a satanic assignment against you, trying to stop you from rising up, to understand your identity, the power that is in you. When you feel tired in your mind or brain fog or this, it is a satanic assignment, an attack trying to stop you. What am I doing in this atmosphere? We're trying to bring a revelation understanding that the presence of the Lord, the glory of the Lord, that you can say, but wait, this is demonic entanglement because Krugersdorp has been held down for too long. Trust me, ministers hate me in this place, not Pastor Stephen. We even swore. I mean, they would phone us and swear on the reception phone. I'm like, who are you? Like, I've never heard of you. You know? Clearly you've heard of me, but I haven't heard of you. I haven't. So the eyes of God is on me. The third realm. Say with me, alam. A-L-A-M. It means to be dumb. When you cannot speak. I could go from scripture to scripture. But just for the sake of time, I want to go through the points, not from scripture to scripture. It is there. I'll just throw out references maybe. Who was Zechariah? Was it John's father? Was struck with dumbness. It is a manifestation of the power of God. dumbness will hit them. Like blindness hits people. It is a manifestation of power. Have you ever felt? It's like maybe you need to testify or something up here, or you take that mic and you're just like kind of like scared to talk. It is a manifestation of power. Are you guys with me? Dumbness, that there's a moment in the presence of God where you'll be unable to even utter or speak words. It's a silence that comes upon you because He is the one that has the last words. When Job was walking into the city, he was speaking when he was young and the anointing was on his life. He said, I was so anointed that when I walked into the city square, they all spoke. But when I spoke, it was like rain that fell upon them. The anointing that fell upon them. And I had the last words and their tongues were stuck to the top of their mouths, the scripture says. Dumbness struck them and what one word could come out of them. When the Spirit of God is on you, you can speak to the most intelligent people or of status and class. But when you speak under that power, they can be struck with dumbness and won't be able to know how to answer you. Then there's a positive way of dumbness. When Jesus stood in front of Pilate, and Pilate said, listen, just I can do this and I can do that for you. And Jesus just kept silent. And he just kept, there's moments where it requires you not to speak. There's power in silence. Are you guys with me? Some people just talk and they just give themselves away. You know, they get into the presence of somebody or somebody, they just talk. The devil cannot read your mind. He has to hear what you say. The devil cannot read your mind. If the devil can read minds, he would know whom Jesus was. If the devil can read minds, he would know when he was going to be crucified. But he had to come through Peter and be in his inner circle. That when Jesus spoke to his, and the Bible says he took some few disciples with him, and he spoke to them secrets and mysteries about his death that is coming, that he has to go die. The next verse, Peter comes in front of him and says, I forbid you, Lord, to go that way. And Jesus looked at him and said, get behind me, Satan. And from that moment, you see how the devil knows the timing of when he's going to be crucified. He can only know by when you speak. Are you guys with me? So say with me, alam, to be silent. This, the Bible says, be still and know that I am God. Go Daniel 10 verse 15. When he had spoken such words to me, I turned to my face towards the ground and became speechless. Go Daniel 10 verse 17. The fourth manifestation. I need to finish this. I know it is late, but I can't stop here. I need to finish this. Say with me, Neshewa. Say it again. Say Neshewa. It means to breathe the breath of God. It is a realm where your breath can leave you in a place of breathlessness when you are in His presence. When the manifestation of power or the power of God can hit you and you will feel out of breath. For how can this servant of my Lord talk with you, my Lord? As for me, no strength remains in me now, nor is any breath left in me. Go John verse 22. And when Jesus had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. He breathed on them. It is a manifestation we do when we lay hands on people and minister to them. Many times I will breathe upon them. Not all receive it in that dimension. But there can be somebody that it's like their eyes are closed. They don't even see what you're doing, nothing. I won't even breathe. I'll just go like this. Just quick. And it's like a breath will hit them. Because there's an anointing in your breath. We can write now, pull one of the other, and we can demonstrate everything I'm saying. We're doing a deliverance. And we did this deliverance in front of this whole family, and the family was running around and all this stuff. And then said to the woman, I said, who we were now beginning to do deliverance on, and I mean, the skin would break out. And devils would scream. I'll say, in the name of Jesus Christ, you'll be stuck to this floor and stay here till we get back. That devil lies down on the floor like this. So we go and drink something. Relax. In the baking sun, they're out there. And we get back and we carry it on. There's a realm of authority and power. Meet God. Say with Him face to face. Meet Him. When you do it, you will carry a power. When His breath comes on you, it is importation that takes place. It is the life, it is the chais of God, where we get the Eastern power chi from. Please, I'm not endorsing that. I'm saying that the devil has no power to create anything in his own. When the Bible says that God breathed into Adam's nostrils and he became a living soul, the words living and soul and breath, you'll see, has the Hebrew word chais, where we get chi from. He breathed power into him and he became a living soul. Fifth manifestation, we're almost done. Say with me, Kera. Say it again, say Kera. K-H-E-R-A. It means to be grieved, to have an internal groaning. It is a place. Go Daniel 7 verse 15. Daniel 7 verse 15. That when the power of God comes in such a manifestation upon you, and you enter into a place of praying, but you actually feel pain for another person, or you're grieved in your body. He says, I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit, within my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. Are you guys with me? And I can go on and on and on with scripture, but it's that groanings that cannot be uttered. Even when you're praying and you're praying for somebody, it's like you don't even have words, but you can kind of like just have a noise in your spirit and you can feel the pain in you. It is a power that is available for you there to have intercession for that person, to feel what that person is feeling. Many times when I would minister, even as a prophet to people, I would feel and experience the memories they have. I would feel the pain they will have right in front of them. You become them. In the spiritual, there's no limitation when it comes to these things. Are you guys with me? So say with me, Kera. Let's go to the sixth one and the last one. Say with me, Pipto. It means to fall under the power. So let me debunk something quickly. And here I'm just going to mention something short, but I can get into over 50 scriptures of falling under the power. Are you guys with me? Actually, of how exactly how biblical it is and how unbiblical it is to not fall under the power. Because no flesh shall stand in my presence and glory. They would say Kundalini spirit, or this or that. We will Kundalini you. You don't even know what Kundalini is. They do everything to disprove God. Kundalini. So no, it's a Kundalini spirit. They've never been there or anything. They don't even know what Kundalini is. Never equate those who equate the power of the Holy Spirit to the work of the devil. It's called blasphemy. To whom there is no forgiveness. There's one sin to whom there's no forgiveness. One. Is when we say the power of God is the power of the devil. He said, you will not be forgiven this one. You can blaspheme the Son. You can blaspheme the Father. But when you, what is blaspheming the Holy Ghost? Does it mean to swear the Holy Spirit? No, you can swear him 100 times. It means, because it speaks in the context where they said that you say that Jesus casted out devils by the power of Beelzebub. Yet he did it by the power of God. Are you guys with me? So, be very careful with these people that are saying that Kundalini is of the devil and this and that. We hope they pray, they speak that in ignorance. But they'll say, no, if you fall over, it's Kundalini now. Listen, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, or let's even before we go there, let's go to Numbers 20 verse 6. So Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and they fell on their faces. So they fell on their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. So people will say, no, no, no. And I'm giving this thing so that you can know the arguments that are out there, because this is what they will tell you. He said, no, no, no. You know, whenever the glory of the Lord came and they fell on their faces, in the church, people are falling backwards. So it's now Kundalini. Let's go to John 18, verse 6. Now when Jesus said to them, 600 special forces soldiers of the day, when Jesus said to them, I am he, say with me, they drew back and fell to the ground. He said one phrase, 600 soldiers fell under the power of God. The power of God was so manifested in that garden. That somebody was raised from the dead by accident, right next door to it in the graveyard, running through that scene because he was in the right location and received an accidental miracle. And then the soldiers got then the soldiers got up and they asked him the same question. They were confused. Time was interrupted. Are you guys with me? Time was interrupted. So you can have people that can fall over and they're not changed. In the same way you can have people fall over and they can change. In the same way you can have people that don't fall over and they can still be changed. But let's not undermine the work of falling under the power. Are you guys with me? 2 Chronicles 5 verse 14. 2 Chronicles 5 verse 14. So that the priest could not continue ministering because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house. In the other translation, in the King James, it says, so the priest could no longer stand to minister by reason of the clouds. They could not stand on their feet because the cloud of the glory. How many times we have our service and everybody would be just on their knees? How the glory would come in. It's the kabot. Are you guys with me? Numbers 24 verse 4. The oracle of him who hears the words of God, who sees the vision of the Almighty, who falls down with eyes wide open. Let me rephrase it. Put in the King James. Which heard the words of... Is that King James? Yeah. Which heard the words of God. which saw the vision of the Almighty. Meaning that once you hear the voice of God, you'll be on your face. Matthew 17 verse 5. While he was still speaking, behold, a great cloud overshadowed them. And suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear him." And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and said with him, "We're greatly afraid." And I can go into more and more and more scriptures here. But under the power of God, you will fall. That is why usher's role is so important. Because they can distract an encounter. You see, when people, you can have the courtesy drop and they fall and they get up, they fall and they, that's great. It's people that can, the power of God is on them. When they have dokimatsu, when they're sensitive, it is there where God is working with them. One encounter can be more than 1,000 sermons. Healing takes place when the power of God is on somebody and they're working. And when an usher tries to pick them up, unless if I say pick them up because I want to minister to them again, they can disturb that flow. Why do we put people on the front row that we know? It's a buffer. I don't want an antichrist here or an atheist here or a, you know. It's a buffer. Because in the realm of the spirit, in there is a resistance that can come. So that is why it's even important for ushers to be having sensitivity and dokimatsu. To know that, I mean, when I'm walking, I said, I have 5 people around me. One. Because when you're not sensitive, you distract people out of their worship. They can miss a miracle right there. When I lay hands on minister to them, we have people behind them. So that we, listen, we're in a Western world. People are worried, like, are they going to fall? But if there's somebody behind them, they're not worried about that. So now they can focus on God. But we can also release power where we don't care if there's people behind you, and the power of God will knock you. You know, conferences usually will just, the power of God will fall over. But then there's also some that I just hold back a little bit. Like Centurion, we hold back a little bit. Krugersdorp, we hold back a little bit. Until the Lord said to me, a wave is coming in tomorrow night.